HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan here to announce show number 52, recorded Wednesday, February 20th, 2007. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Slash N Software Red Carpet Subscriptions, the most comprehensive solution for adding connectivity to your .NET and ASP.NET applications, with components for every major internet protocol, online at www.nsoftware.com. Support is also provided by .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine, online at www.sys-con.com. In this episode, Scott and Carl talk about the end-to-end tracing format.
Hi, this is Carl Franklin. You're listening to Hansel Minutes from HanselMinutes.com. I'm here with Scott Hanselman. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. How's it going?
Excellent.
All right, that's down to business, eh?
Quick one.
Cool. I want to talk about end-to-end tracing. You've probably done tracing like system.diagnostics.trace and stuff like that.
Sure.
But more and more at my company, we're having to do tracing amongst multiple machines, multiple services. We really want to be able to trace a particular user, like one guy amongst thousands and thousands of guys that are all online, or one particular transaction through the entire system, from web server to web service, from web service to business object to maybe another machine or many machines, all the way back to what we call a host, but what you would probably call a database, and then back. So I've been looking into this kind of stuff, and while we use, you know, WCF, we use Indigo in a number of places, and Indigo uses this thing called end-to-end tracing. We want to be able to use end-to-end tracing in places that aren't necessarily Indigo, Indigo-related or WCF-related. So it turns out that, you know, there's a lot of tracing stuff that's built into the .NET Framework 2.0, particularly this really interesting XML format that's the end-to-end tracing format. It's an XML format, but it's not really XML. It's kind of an interesting thing. This is part of the XML Writer Trace Listener. It's a listener that you add to your config files. You know, so you'd go in and you'd say, the listener that I'm going to be using for tracing is the system.diagnostics.xml writer trace listener. And it writes out XML, except the XML has no root node.
Right, okay? It's just the data portion.
Right, it's just a fragment. So it says E2E trace event. And then it has things like the log level and the source and things like that. And then a configurable amount of application data that you can add into the trace record. You can go and say, well, I just want to see the message headers, the SOAP headers, or I want to see the entire message depending on the level of logging. So what's interesting about end-to-end tracing is that I might have a, well, let's use like a pretend Amazon.com kind of a situation. I've got an ASP.NET website, and it's going to be doing some tracing. And I want to go and say save book. That's going to be an activity that's going to occur on the web server. Then we maybe will call out to another machine that's running a web service. We've left that process. We've left the machine. Maybe within that machine, we'll call into a couple of in-process business objects in the process of saving our book. And then maybe I'm going to call out again to either another component, or I'll call out into a database component or a data access layer. This, all of this tracing activity that could potentially occur typically goes into, you know, a text file. You've probably done tracing before, and it's kind of a hassle to correlate all that information. This end-to-end tracing format, the one I'm talking about is a Microsoft-specific one, but if you Google around for end-to-end tracing, you'll see that more and more people are interested in this. Oracle and IBM, everyone's into end-to-end tracing. In this instance, we're just talking about this Microsoft XML format. You can write out to tracing from all of these different systems, then open up a tool that actually comes with the Windows SDK. It's called the Service Trace Viewer. It's at /M, M as in mom, M45. And this is the Service Trace Viewer is something that actually comes with the platform SDK, but it's primarily used around WCF services. But one of the points that we're going to want to get across in this particular podcast is that you don't need to necessarily use WCF to get good tracing.
Okay.
So you open this guy up, and I've got him open right now, and I'm going to go and say file open, and then I can just pick a log file and go and say file add, file add, file add, and open many of them, and they'll all correlate to each other. So I might have one text file that came off of the web server, another text file that I got off of the database box or off of the business services box or off the web services box,
wow.
Add them all together. And the trick is this notion of the correlation manager. There's this correlation ID. Basically, it's just a GUID that lives as like a conversation ID, lives in the header of this particular trace event. So you need to keep this GUID the same as you move from activity to activity. And any activity that you want to be correlated, you have the same GUID.
That's pretty amazing. I'm looking at the screenshots they have here
on the
MSDN site.
Okay, good. So the screenshots that you're looking at are up at probably shrinkster.com/M47. And notice in the screenshot that there's a chart. There's like a graph moving from left to right where you've got one activity goes down kind of the Y-axis there. And you've got like client, and that's one process, multiple activities within that process. The trick there is using this correlation manager along with multiple activity IDs. So basically, you have to transfer control from one activity to the next. And this is up to you to do that.
And this, you have to do that in your code.
Right. You basically have this correlation ID. When you know that you're about to jump out to somewhere else, you can go and make a new activity ID, set it, and then do a trace.transfer. So one of the important aspects of end-to-end tracing is the notion of transferring between an activity. You know, I might want to say complete purchase. That might be the business level activity. The guy on the web server, the website rather, clicked the button, complete purchase. But within that might be smaller activities like verify credit card and, you know, take money out of his account and things like that. So you want to transfer between activities representing those relationships between the different events. So you'll start a new activity, and then you might have a GUID associated with that, and you'll create what's called a trace source, and you'll give it some name. And then you'll store it in like thread local storage is this activity ID. And this is actually sitting right on the trace object. You've used system.diagnostics.trace.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in .NET 2.0, there's a new static that's sitting right on trace called the correlation manager. And then you can go and grab the activity ID off of that. So you say trace.correlationManager.activityID, and that's a GUID. Then if you're going to be doing a new activity, you know that you're about to call out somewhere, you can go and say trace transfer. I'm going to be transferring to another activity, and we'll pass in a new GUID, and we'll say that our activity is going to stop and this new one's going to start up. So just before you call out, you do that. And then getting back to what you were talking about with these screenshots, for that to show up in the trace viewer as a different activity, that's what needs to happen, that transfer of control. Now, your activity, what you were doing, can continue to work. Maybe it's doing work, you know, asynchronously, or you're about to call out to something asynchronously. The trick is that any activity that you want to show up in the viewer as being discrete has to have that particular new GUID. Make sense?
Yeah.
So if you look at that screenshot, you can see that there are places where it transferred control off to another activity but continued to work on its own.
So, Scott, let me just interrupt you real quick here. Applications for this, I mean, the obvious conspiracy theorist in me says Big Brother is watching, but, you know, that's mundane. The real issue here is tracing when you have problems. But
exactly.
When you get to that point where you have your website, you know, the phone starts ringing off the hook because it's blowing up in the shopping cart or something like that. Do you really have time to go and implement a tracing tool? And if you implement it beforehand, is there any performance hit if you're not using it?
Yeah, so you're bringing up a number of really good issues now. So before people blow off your Big Brother thing, that's a very valid point. You always, when you're dealing with stuff, have to make sure that you don't trace important or sensitive data. You know, that's something that Carillion specializes in, is not doing that. We've got filters and things to prevent passwords and credit cards and things like that from ever being, touching disk. That's a very important aspect of things. Okay, so you got a couple different questions there. Different systems can be named with these trace sources, so some thought has to go into this up front. But the trace source will allow you to go and say, I want to have different log levels for different systems.
Mm-hmm.
So one trace source might be the website. Another might be the business logic. Another might be the credit card validation control. If you're having trouble with a particular aspect of the system, you can turn up logging just for that one bit. Turn it up to debug or turn it to warn to let you know what's going wrong. It's definitely difficult to go into a system that already exists that hasn't had the thought put into it and instrument it for tracing. So this is definitely something that you want to think about up front.
Yeah.
And it might, some people might disagree with my perspective, but targeting the trace viewer is a good way to get an understanding about what do you really think an activity is. It's an easy thing to go and say, well, you know, each thread is an activity, but you have to ask yourself, do you want an activity to be a logical thing or a physical thing?
So actually watching the trace happen in your code, even if you're not looking for a bug, can help you solidify the process.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we're currently working on and we've had a little trouble with is doing tracing within a workflow. We found that because the workflow control uses a thread
dynamic,
pool,
right?
Yeah, it's very dynamic. We're seeing some of our activities showing up on different threads. Basically, reality, the logical reality of our business, isn't being reflected very well in the trace viewer because threads are being reused and the activity ID is staying around. So what we're having to do is make sure that our particular message that we pass through the system includes this activity ID. And then when the workflow engine wakes up, we stick our activity ID back in there to make sure things line up. So it had us thinking, well, gosh, even though the physical reality is that the workflow control does this, we really want our logical transactions to flow through this system and look this way. So some thought about what exactly is the source here. Do we even want to expose the fact that the workflow is involved, or is it really more about the activities and controls that the workflow is doing?
Yeah.
So it has to get you, you have to think about what is your root activity, in this case, maybe save book, and then your nested activities. And do you want your trace sources to look at things in the process level or at the component level? You can create also logical operations hanging off of the correlation manager is this logical operation stack.
The correlation manager is just the base class of all of this stuff, right?
Right. It's kind of the thing that just makes it easy for you. It manages the activity ID. It manages the storage on the call context, and it includes this logical operation stack that basically you just say, I'm about to start a logical operation. So you call start operation, it pushes something on the stack, and then you hit stop operation.
Oh, cool.
Now, this is a tough topic to talk about for a
podcast.
A podcast, no question.
Very so visual.
Take a look at the trace viewer. All the links are on the site, shrinkster/M45, 46, 47, 48, and 49. So these are Shrinkster URLs, www.shrinkster.com/M M45 through M49. These are different pointers within MSDN to give you information about tracing and why tracing is important. You really have to see this trace viewer to understand why this could be really powerful. But even though WCF is kind of the best, greatest example of tracing, in our system, we don't always have WCF services talking to each other. So we've had to go into our other services that aren't Indigo services and just use that particular trace writer, the XML trace writer. But the viewer doesn't really care. It's okay that we're not using WCF. We can still use the WCF trace viewer to do that work. And that's been really nice.
What's the live service trace viewer?
So one of the things that is kind of being worked on, and I'm not really clear if this is something that is still actively being worked on. The site is pretty old, but if you go up to, I think it's Shrinkster M4B, this is a trace viewer by two kind of technology evangelists that lets you look at the system live while it's happening. So you can actually see the activities as they are going down. And it's based on WPF as well. So they're using WCF underneath, but WPF. So it's the painting, the UI of this is all Avalon. And this is done by a guy named Craig McMurtry, and then a guy that I've actually met a couple of times. He's come to some Corellian users conferences named Vittorio Bitocci. Now, the site is from, 2006, and it's a beta. I don't know. Maybe they'll listen to this and they'll let us know that it's happening. But there's actually a Channel 9 interview up there on this. We've got this this working internally with our stuff. I don't know if we'll end up using it. One of the things that we've been thinking about, and we're just brainstorming here, is that, of course, sticking all of this XML and text files may not be ideal. But because this is all built into the fundamental .NET 2.0 tracing infrastructure, certainly this XML format could be thrown into SQL 2005.
Sure.
And the schema could be associated with it. This is something that Patrick Caldwell has been thinking about. And then you could do some pretty interesting querying on SQL Server if you wanted to do forensics, like after the fact, not necessarily live, but a couple days later. And then doing some queries, strip out maybe all of the activities that a user did. So Carl could call in later and say, hey, you know, I transferred some money yesterday. Can you take a look at that? We have a formal auditing process and an audit log already for things like financial services. So I want to make sure you understand that tracing that kind of logging and maybe auditing for the purposes of making sure the money got where, you know, where it needed to go are really different things. But if you said, I saw something weird happen during my session yesterday and we had the log levels turned on, I could query the database and then pull the logs back out as XML after the fact, right? And then do my tracing and my forensic work afterwards.
That's great. Hey, you know, just as an aside, I saw this this software that I've installed, and it's kind of intriguing, although I'm not sure how useful it is. It's at whoson.com, and it's called Who's On. You install it. It's a .NET app. It installs on in IIS, and it's sort of like a live log communication thing. So you run a client.
Like who's on your site right now?
Yeah, you run a client, and you can see IP address. You can hook it up to geographic information, and you can sort of watch them go through your website. Some issues with it I have is that it scrolls. When it scrolls, it doesn't like automatically bring you to the last item in the list. Like it scrolls and continuously leaves the most oldest one at the top of the list.
Sure.
There doesn't seem to be any way to sort it or anything. It's kind of annoying. But
the idea, though, the idea is the same thing. It's the idea of live instrumentation. So, I mean, end-to-end tracing, and what we're trying to talk about is really the notion of fully instrumenting your application so that you know what's going on without having to get in and make a live debugging session.
Right. And the tools that you're talking about end-to-end are sort of like, you know, for bits and bytes and developer kind of what's going on in the code. And I would say Who's On is more for like, you know, ROI business professionals to see what they're see how their websites are being utilized and things like that.
And this brings you're bringing up a good point because when you instrument your application, who is your audience? You know, you want to instrument it for the purposes of the business person who wants to know, like you say, who's on the site. We like to instrument things for forensic analysis to come back later and say, you know, what exactly happened? How did that go down? Something weird happened in the site, and I want to know exactly at what point it fell apart. We can also use this at some level for, you know, for some performance to get a general idea of when something moves through the site, and I'm not doing formal performance testing, but I want to see, gosh, I spent a long time on that one, in that one place, on that one service. Certainly all of this stuff is easy to do if you're using WCF. You just put in these sources in your system.diagnostic section of your application's config, and you just let it know that you want activity tracing turned on, and there's lots of information on MSDN about how to do that. Setting up your trace source allows you to do things with different log levels. And then certainly your existing applications can do this using this XML writer trace listener. You can have existing enterprise services, existing websites that maybe are going to become consumers of WCF, or maybe you have an existing web service. So if you start introducing complexity at this level, like large systems that involve multiple hops, even if it's not WCF, you can start doing end-to-end tracing. And even if you're not going to do tracing on more than one system, even if end-to-end to you is all within one ASP.NET application, you know, it'd be interesting to take some of the administration tools that we have that run Hanselminutes.com, plug in some end-to-end tracing, and get an idea of how these transactions flow through the system.
Very good. Scott, thanks a lot. It's been a great show as always, and we'll see you again next week on Hansel Minutes.